The Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey is a leading provider of advanced reproductive technologies, sharing its knowledge with you. It's time for Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. Here's Melanie Cole.
Ovulation disorders are one of the most common causes of female infertility. Drug therapies are often used to treat infertility caused by ovulatory disorders. My guest today is Hina Ahmed. She's a physician assistant at the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Hina. So what is typically the drug therapies that are used to treat infertility caused by some of these ovulatory disorders?
Hi, Melanie. Thanks for having me back. So the medications that we typically will use to correct ovulation disorders, there's oral therapies and then there's injectable therapies. And oral therapies are medications which you may or may not have heard of, like Clomid or something called Letrozole, Femara. These are medications that are taken by mouth, and they help to suppress estrogen within the body and help you to ovulate on time. When we talk about injectable therapies, you may hear, sometimes people hear from their friends or on the news or on TV, medications is either Follistim or Gonalef or Menopur, Brevel. You may be hearing these names. And those are the injectable therapies. And they have a different mechanism, but they also help with ovulation induction is what we call it, to induce ovulation. And so these two therapies can be used in patients who have difficulty ovulating on their own, or they ovulate too early or too late, you know, to adjust ovulation timing, they can be used. So they're very effective treatments.
What is ovulation induction? What are you trying to do for the woman?
So ovulation induction is basically in patients who have difficulty ovulating in a timely fashion. Now, typical ovulation is cycle day 14 or 15. And most women who have normal ovulation will have a 28-day complete cycle from the start of their bleeding to their next period. And so if women are not ovulating in that window of cycle day 14 or 15, they may be ovulating earlier or later, there may be an ovulatory issue that's occurring. And ovulation induction therapies like Clomid and the injectable medications we just talked about will help for, fixing the timing of ovulation so that the ideal conditions are present in order to become pregnant.
So how does a woman decide between, as you say, they have different methods with the injectables versus an oral medication? How do you help a woman decide which one would be better for them?
Well, each treatment plan is tailored towards the patient and their needs. And, you know, patients that are younger, who may not have a significant ovulatory issue, may benefit from something like an oral therapy. Patients who are a little bit older, who have, more of an ovulation issue and more of an egg quality issue and things, they would benefit from injectable therapy. But it's really based upon, the patient's hormonal results, what results have come back, what is the diagnosis, and then what is going to benefit the patient the most. And this conversation usually occurs after having the initial workup with the patient as to what, what are some of the things or the problems we need to fix for the cycle in order for obtaining the best conditions for pregnancy. And then that's determined based upon that.
So what does the term superovulation mean?
So superovulation is kind of a funny name, I guess, or interesting name for, producing multiple eggs during a cycle. And superovulation can be done in two separate, using two separate modalities where you're taking injectable fertility medications that are increasing not only the probability of correcting ovulation, but then also increasing the number of eggs that are ovulated, because now you have a lot of the hormone present that creates these eggs and allows them to grow. So in that superovulation basically means you're maybe creating more than one egg for ovulation with these medications, and that can be coupled with a treatment like an intrauterine insemination, or it can also be coupled with in vitro fertilization. So if you're creating a lot of eggs, it would benefit us to then remove the eggs and do in vitro fertilization. And if you're creating a few eggs, not so many, then, we can allow fertilization to occur within the body because, in this situation, when you superovulate, we obviously don't want to encourage ovulation within the body if you have a ton of eggs because then you could also have a multiple birth. So it's like a fine line between the two, but it can be used in both situations.
So that was going to be my next question. And so what do you tell women about that possibility of multiple births if you are combining these two types of treatment?
So the multiple birth rate, when in concern with the rates with Clomid, when you're taking Clomid or letrozole oral therapy, they're quite low. It's about 8% chance of multiple. Out of that 8%, you have 1% chance that it'll be more than twins. So it's generally not a very high risk of twins or triplets. And that's why a lot of times physicians encourage starting with this type of treatment before jumping to something more aggressive, because the multiple rates are lower. The second step in this would be the superovulation, kind of like the middle ground for treatment. But the superovulation can be a little bit risky because the risk of multiple births is about 20%, 5% being close to triplets or quadruplets or more. Definitely don't want to put anyone at risk for that. You know, some people think it's a good idea if I have multiples, I'm done in one shot, but it's not always the best thing for the pregnancy, not the best thing for the babies, not for the best thing for the mom, and so that's why we try to avoid that as much as possible. And there may be, a subset of patients that really benefit for superovulation therapy, but many patients won't fit into that category. We may ask them to do IVF instead, and the chances of multiples with IVF is really, nowadays we're putting back less and less embryos into the uterus. So IVF is in vitro fertilization. Fertilization occurs outside the body. That means we have embryos outside the body, and we can transfer good embryos into the uterus, and it, depending on how many are transferred, then your risk of multiples will go up. If you're transferring two or more, your risk of multiples does go up 20%. But if you're transferring one at a time, which most clinics are doing now, your risk of multiples is low, because that embryo really has to split in order for you to have multiples.
So, Hina, how long would you be willing to, try with a woman the difference between the medicational intervention, Clomid, versus with and or with the superovulation, and then tell them maybe it is time to try IVS? How long can they try these other therapies?
So when we talk about Clomid is a very good medication for ovulation. It works in a good deal of women to get them to ovulate, but the pregnancy chances are not as high as, say, IVF or superovulation. So typically what we tell patients is that we like to try this for about 3 months. 3 months is a good time for anyone to be on any type of treatment plan and for us to then learn a little bit about their body and what's going on. And within 3 months, if they're pregnant, wonderful. If they're not, then this may not be the treatment for them. There's many studies out there saying that, that 3 month mark is really where your chance, you're either going to get pregnant from a treatment medication or not, and it's time to move on to something else. The other reason personally why I don't like to use Clomid for a long period of time, and many physicians are in the same boat, is that there is, an increased risk of ovarian cancer if you're using Clomid for more than 12 months consecutively. So we don't even want to get to that point where you're at the 12-month mark. I usually will just, after 3 months, if it's not working, at that time, many women already feel like, okay, I want to get aggressive now. And as long as they're okay with it, then we can move on to the next step and move to something that will work more effectively. Same thing kind of goes with superovulation as well. We don't want to do multiple cycles. There are so many things that may be occurring outside of what we are doing with the superovulation and intrauterine insemination within the body that we have no idea about. And that's when it brings us to IVF, where IVF we can actually see what's going on, how many eggs are being produced. We retrieve those eggs, we count the eggs, we look at their quality. We look at the sperm quality, we put the sperm and the egg together, and we look at the quality of the embryo before placing it back into the uterus. It gives us a wealth of knowledge, not only about, the eggs and the sperm, but then what's going on during fertilization and whether it's being fertilized normally, is it progressing, embryo progressing normally, all of those things. So it's actually not just a treatment, but it's also a kind of diagnostic, because if there's something going on in that part of the development, then we'll know.
So wrap it up for us then with your best advice for women that are considering medicational intervention for fertility treatments if they have ovulatory disorders, and kind of what you tell them about all of their options at the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey.
So my best advice for the patient, would, any patient, would be, you know, if you are concerned about ovulation, you think you may not be ovulating on time, is to definitely seek the advice of a medical professional. Go in to see your OBGYN physician. See if it's something that needs to be addressed. And if you're trying to become pregnant, that may warrant, you know, speaking to them and then seeing a specialist and having the specialist do a workup on your ovulation and how it's functioning. As far as the treatment is concerned, you know, it really, like I had mentioned, it depends on the patient and their hormonal levels and what's going on in their body that a treatment plan will be tailored for them. You know, and my other advice would be not to give up. You know, a lot of women get frustrated after a cycle or two of any type of treatment and they think, you know, it's not going to happen for me. But my biggest advice would be don't give up, you know, continue to try, and that, you know, you may need to try different things before the best thing, you know, for you kind of pops up, and that's what you need to get pregnant. So that would be my biggest advice.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Hina. You're listening to Fertility Talk with the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. And for more information, you can go to fertilitynj.com. That's fertilitynj.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.